Welcome back. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and I am very pleased to report that Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents begins right here, right now, with a very talented cardiologist, Dr. Sheena Rastogi. And we have a great topic this half hour, heart health, myth versus fact. Let me tell you just a little bit about our distinguished expert. Dr. Sheena Rastogi is a cardiologist and is board certified in internal medicine. Dr. Rastogi earned her medical degree and completed a residency in internal medicine at Rutgers, New Jersey Medical School in Newark, New Jersey, went on to complete a fellowship in cardiology at Northwell Health, North Shore University Hospital in New Hyde Park, New York. Dr. Rastogi's special interests include clinical cardiology and nuclear cardiology. She has participated in clinical research projects, and Dr. Rastogi joins the program right now. Good morning, doctor.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
It is my honor and is my pleasure. And I really think this is a very important topic. And those listening, we're going to learn a lot from Dr. Rastogi this half hour. Heart health, myth versus fact. So first question, myth or fact? Women and men may experience heart attack symptoms differently. And then let's get into what are the different symptoms for men as well as for women. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so this is a fact. Men and women experience heart attack symptoms differently. Generally speaking, chest things like chest pain, shortness of breath, discomfort in your arms or through your back, up your jaw, those are classic symptoms of heart attack that we all know about, and pretty much both sexes do experience these symptoms. But women, the symptoms can be a little bit more subtle, so you have to be a little bit more vigilant about what you may be experiencing if you're a woman. So those symptoms namely are nausea, vomiting, lightheadedness. You could be experiencing what you would think is indigestion, but it could actually be a heart attack, cold sweats, unusual fatigue, things like that. So yeah, it's very important that, you know, if you're experiencing any of these sort of non-specific symptoms, to keep a very low threshold to seek medical attention. Let a medical, you know, healthcare provider decide what, you know, needs to be done going forward and how you need to be diagnosed and treated. So again, you know, that's what makes it so tough, these non-specific sort of symptoms, you know. But it's true. It's true. Women can experience things a little bit differently than men.
Let me add another question before we go on to the next topic, and it is this. Is it true also, or myth or fact, that men are more likely to go get help than a woman?
Wow, this is a very interesting question. I think there is some truth to that. I think that, you know, women tend to be a little bit more tolerant when it comes to experiencing unusual symptoms.
Yep.
So I'd probably agree with that. Which is why I'm trying to emphasize it's so important to seek medical attention when you feel like something's off, you know. Just keep a very low threshold and just let somebody else decide, you know.
For so many reasons, I agree with that. And I'm not just being traditional. I think women are very attentive, and if they see their husband or significant other, for example, they're going to get right on it and say, we're going to the emergency room.
Definitely.
Women might feel a symptom and just keep going. I mean, I'm just saying, you guys are better. You're better than we are. I really mean that. I'm not being, I'm not kidding about that. So I think for all those reasons, it's true that men are more likely to get help sooner than women. It's not right, and we should change that, but I think it is true. So thanks for taking my bonus question. Myth or fact, Dr. Rastogi, smoking and vaping damage and your cardiovascular health, what do you say relative to that? Does smoking and vaping damage your cardiovascular health?
Yes, that's a fact. And I think that everybody knows that. I think that nowadays it's pretty much part of like our general consciousness that smoking is bad for you. I think that there is a myth that's probably a little bit more prevalent that vaping is better for you than smoking. And I'd have to disagree with that.
Oh,
I do believe
too.
That is a myth.
Oh.
Yeah, that is a myth.
I think people are finding from popcorn lung to all kinds of things. People in hospitals, smoking, we know, and it killed both my parents. So I'm very adverse.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I appreciate that. But, you know, it certainly taught me at a young age to not smoke. And that was a gift in that sense. But it was horrible, horrible, you know, endocarcinoma of the lung, you know, terrible, terrible way to go. But the smoking is one thing that doesn't seem to happen in 5 minutes. Vaping is, and it's a shame the way there's not, and I guess because it hasn't been around for enough time, there aren't enough studies to show how damaging it is. I totally concur with you, Dr. Rastogi. Please continue.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Right along the same lines, I think that we're just starting to kind of discover the downstream consequences of vaping. And the insidious thing about vaping is that, you know, it contains like this solution that's nicotine containing that produces a vapor when it's inhaled. And it's pretty much a much more efficient delivery system for nicotine than cigarettes are. It's very, so, you know, it's very insidious in that sense. And I think it's becoming increasingly recognized that things that are, you know, products that can produce vapors, not only, you know, produce respiratory tract damage like you had, you know, mentioned earlier about your folks, it also causes a lot of inflammation in the body, which is why it has such cardiovascular consequences as well, because inflammation causes a lot of changes inside the vessels that feed blood to your heart. So that damage can actually promote the formation of something called atherosclerosis.
There you go.
Which is basically, you know, blockages in your coronary arteries. Your coronary arteries are basically those vessels that are important because they deliver blood to the heart tissue themselves, right? Your heart's an organ just like any other organ in your body, and it needs blood in order to function. But if it's got blockages from atherosclerosis, then that blood is not going to perfuse properly and your heart's going to get damaged from
that.
So, you know, vaping is most certainly something that can be responsible for something that, damaging. So I would avoid cigarette then, but vaping, you know, both of them.
Dr. Rastogi, I think about, you know, from time to time how early on, even they were probably actors, but, you know, supposed doctors in white lab coats telling you smoking is good for you. It's good for your digestion. All the, the dishonesty about, how devastating and carcinogenic it was. None of that was talked about in the movies, you know, cigarette in one hand, alcohol, you know, beverage in the other, you know, blowing smoke in someone's face used to be considered, you know, like some kind of sexy thing or something. I mean, just
crazy
stuff. And I'm reminded, I don't remember the year, but it was several years ago. Whenever vaping came about, this friend of mine walked into the studio and I see him and the end of this thing in his mouth is blue. It's lit up. It's blue. And all of a sudden, out comes this white cloud of thick white smoke. So I said to him, I said, "Hey, I heard about those things." I said, "What are you doing that for?" He goes, "Because it's safe." I said, "Look, I'm not a doctor." I said, "But I guarantee you, the same people that said that smoking cigarettes was safe are saying that that thing you are inhaling," I said, "that is not safe. I guarantee you that's not safe." And of course, we have learned how devastating vaping can be.
Definitely.
It's just, you know, but they come out of the box thinking it's safe.
Definitely, definitely. And to your point, I mean, you know, nowadays, not only are vapes so, you know, available, like the widespread availability is making it makes it so accessible. I think that, you know, these people who are manufacturing vapes have become so aggressive with marketing these products, you know, like now they light up and you can charge them and there's different kinds of flavors and it's, you know, you can't blame people for, you know, getting attracted to something like this. And, you know, I think historically cigarette smoking and vaping today are great stress busters, but unfortunately they're just so terrible for you. So I always tell my patients that, you know, give yourself some grace. It's okay that, you know, you picked up this habit because it's not your fault. This is just chemistry. But, you know, you have to use your higher intelligence, overcome this because you know that it's bad for you. And, you know, just quit smoking. That's the message.
No question. The best advice you could give today, Dr. Khashoggi. Let me share, do a quick reset. It is 16 minutes past the hour. It is Deborah Heart Lung Center presents Dr. Sheena Khashoggi, cardiologist extraordinaire. The topic this half hour is heart health, a reminder to make an appointment with Deborah Heart Lung Center. So simple to do. You can call 609-621-2080 or from any digital device, and you'll see the link, the hyperlink right there for scheduling an appointment. Just go to the website, demanddebora.org. Again, the topic this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Sheena Khashoggi is heart health, myth versus fact. So in addition to smoking and vaping, what lifestyle choices also damage your heart?
So I think the main sort of lifestyle things to keep in mind are unhealthy diet. So a diet that's high in saturated trans fats, high in cholesterol, high in sodium, high in sugar, all of these can contribute to conditions like cardiovascular disease, high blood pressure, obesity, stroke. So I think a major lifestyle factor for damaging your heart is probably unhealthy diet. And then the other part of it is a sedentary lifestyle. So a lack of physical activity can also cause, you know, the aforementioned conditions, heart attack, stroke, obesity, diabetes. I think another, you know, thing that I'd like to mention as a part of lifestyle is excessive alcohol consumption. We see that excessive alcohol intake can also raise your blood pressure. It increases your risk for certain arrhythmias. There's a very prevalent type of arrhythmia that we see all the time called atrial fibrillation. Mm-hmm. So excessive alcohol consumption can, you know, definitely lead to AFib. And then, you know, there's also holiday heart syndrome, which is basically heart failure as a result of alcohol consumption, excessive alcohol consumption. So that's when you have a weakened heart muscle, essentially. So I would say, you know, if lifestyle modification, it really just involves having a healthy diet, staying active, and trying to cut down on, you know, bad things like alcohol and cutting out smoking entirely, things like that. And the last thing I'd like to mention is chronic stress. So obviously, like, if you're somebody who is at high stress sort of job, and, you know, you're probably at risk for having a high, you know, high blood pressure, increased heart rate, things like that, that could also contribute to heart disease. So, you know, incorporating, you know, meditative practices can also help with your heart health.
You are listening to Dr. Sheena Khashoggi, cardiologist, Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Khashoggi on our topic this half hour, which is heart health, myth versus fact. We can get in one more topic before the break, and we have a lot more important content coming up in the second half of the program. Dr. Khashoggi, myth or fact, the ideal blood pressure number is 120 over 80.
So I would say it's a fact. 120 over 80 is often considered an ideal blood pressure, but I'd like to qualify this statement by saying that blood pressure goals tend to be individualized, which is why it's important for you to touch base with your cardiologist about what blood pressure goal is appropriate for you. So things like age and the presence of other medical conditions, they influence what kind of blood pressures we target. So, for example, patients who have kidney disease, blood pressure tends to be, you know, a very challenging issue. And for these patients, we tend to be a little bit liberal with our goals. Whereas if you're a young individual, we would want to be more aggressive. If you're an elderly individual, we might be, again, a little bit more liberal because we wouldn't want to give you medications that would drop your blood pressure too much, making you symptomatic and then putting you at risk for falling. So there are a lot of variables in play, which is why, again, you need to touch base with, you know, a healthcare provider or your cardiologist. But yes, generally speaking, 120 over 80 is what we shoot for in the general public.
Dr. Khashoggi, let me share with you what a gentleman listener of the program, because I've been advertising since 6 o'clock this morning that you would be coming on, and I've really been looking forward to our time together. And you are as terrific as I knew you were going to be, by the way. It's so listenable, so good what you are sharing. You're helping so many people right now, and I appreciate you being here. So this gentleman is 64 years old, took his blood pressure this morning after we talked about the fact that you were coming on, and his blood pressure is 108 over 65. This would have been early in the morning because I've had this. Well, I've had it for about a half hour, hour. So the listener is asking me to ask you, is that good for a male age 64?
You said the blood pressure was 108 over 65?
Correct.
Confirm. Yeah. Yeah. I think that, you know, if you have that blood pressure and you're completely asymptomatic, meaning you're not experiencing any kind of lightheadedness, dizziness, feeling like you're going to faint, you're not experiencing palpitations with a blood pressure like that, then yes, that is a good blood pressure to have. But, you know, again, there's just so many things that influence blood pressure.
Yep.
What I like to tell my patients is if you want to have a good handle on average blood pressure, what kind of pressure your heart and body are normally seeing on a day-to-day basis, maintain a blood pressure log. So take your blood pressure first thing in the morning, and then at nighttime, write it down, and then share that blood pressure log with a healthcare provider, your PCP, your cardiologist, so that they can form an overall opinion on what your blood pressure is like. Is it well controlled, or does it need a little bit more, you know, TLC? Like, do you need meds? Do we need to talk about lifestyle modifications, things like that? So one-time blood pressure, I would say yes, 108 is over 65 is good, but overall trends, I think, you know, that's a little bit more easy to interpret. It's a little bit more actionable. So, yeah.
If you were actually meeting with a person, too, there's a lot to just hearing a number. But if I said to you 108 over 65, is that someone that should also consider that maybe their blood pressure is too low?
I would say I would not worry about a blood pressure that is in that particular range. I'd say if you're looking specifically at numbers, if you're a stickler for numbers, any blood pressure, so systolic blood pressure, which is the top number, if that drops below 90, that is a low blood pressure.
There you go.
Any blood pressure where, you know, it's on the lower end and you're experiencing, like I said, lightheadedness, dizziness, feeling like you're going to faint, that is a low blood pressure.
Got it. So I think
numbers are important, but interpreting them in the context of what's going on is more useful. It's clinically more actionable, like I said.
Excellent. We're going to come right back, much more with Dr. Rashoghi after this brief timeout. And the topic this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents cardiologist Dr. Sheena Rashoghi is heart health, myth or fact? And when we come back, we're going to be talking about sleep effects on your heart health. That's obviously a very important topic because I do believe that America is more sleep deprived than ever before. Some people even, you know, champion that they don't sleep much. And what are the effects if you do not have restorative sleep on the heart? Well, we have the expert, Dr. Rashoghi. She'll tell us right after the break. Stay with us. It is 30 minutes past the hour. I was telling Dr. Rashoghi, this has just flown by. We have to do this again. You are terrific. This is Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Sheena Rashoghi, cardiologist. The topic this half hour is heart health, myth versus fact. To make an appointment at Deborah Heart and Lung Center, you can do so by calling or from any digital device. And I promise you both work exactly the same, whichever you feel more comfortable with. Some people like to call and speak with someone. Some people like to go on a digital device and begin the process that way. But either call 609-621-2080 or demanddeborah.org. And you'll see it's a red box hyperlink. You'll see the link to making an appointment. So you can do so at demanddeborah.org as well. And we tease this a little bit about the sleep effects and heart health. How important is that, Dr. Rashoghi?
So sleep is very, very vital, I think, for heart health. And the reason for that is adequate sleep allows for the body to repair tissues, including heart tissue. So it's very, very vital. It also helps regulate hormones that will influence your blood pressure and heart rate. So poor sleep quality and insufficient sleep duration are associated with increased risk for things like heart disease, stroke, high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, So my advice would be to aim for 7 to 9 hours of quality sleep if you can help it, to optimize your heart health.
Do we have an epidemic in our country that most Americans are not getting 7 to 9 hours?
I mean, I think to your point, you mentioned earlier about how we have this work culture in our society, that it's sort of glorified in a way to push yourself to the extent where you're compromising your own health. And I mean, to that end, I'd say that attitude is definitely something that's prevalent and should be addressed. I think that, you know, we should all sort of encourage each other to prioritize things like sleep and having a healthy lifestyle. So for sure, I'd agree with that.
You are listening to Dr. Sheena Rastogi, cardiologist from Deborah Heart and Lung Center. This is something that I think people also do, but you're the expert, so you take it from here. Relative to when you, a doctor, if you prescribe medication for someone, and we're talking heart health today, so it could be heart medication. Oh, I'm starting to feel better. They stop taking the medication. What do you say to that?
So my very strong recommendation and request for everybody is to never stop taking prescribed medications without talking to your doctor first. So even if you feel better, still, it's crucial to continue taking your meds for the intended duration as prescribed to help manage your condition and to prevent any future complications. And then specifically when it comes to taking heart meds, sudden cessation of heart meds could lead to serious consequences. So you could have a heart attack or a stroke or just a worsening of your heart condition. There's just a multitude of things, multitude of directions that could go in. So my request is to never stop taking meds until your doctor says it's safe to do so.
So important. Myth or fact, Dr. Rastogi, heart disease runs in my family, but I'm not at risk because I exercise and take care of myself.
So I'd have to say, and I hate to say this, but that is a myth. There are a lot of inheritable heart diseases that run in the family that, you know, if you are aware of it, you should definitely touch base with your cardiologist to make sure that you don't have it and make sure that you get appropriate surveillance. And of course, I mean, the most important and I think prevalent condition that we all concern ourselves with is coronary artery disease. Like I mentioned earlier, that's when you have blockages in your coronary arteries. So there is this one condition called premature coronary artery disease. So if you have a first degree relative who has premature coronary artery disease, which is defined specifically as if you're a male and you get a heart attack between the age of 45 and 55, or if you're a woman and you get a heart attack between the age of 55 and 60, that is considered premature coronary artery disease. So if you have a relative who suffered from that kind of a condition, you have a family history of premature CAD, and that is an independent risk factor for heart disease. So, you know, definitely be mindful of it. Definitely mention it to your doctor if that is the case for you. But I'd like to also qualify that by saying that certainly having a good healthy lifestyle, exercising regularly, having a balanced diet, managing your stress appropriately, all of these habits can mitigate your risk. But you should still be vigilant. You should still, try to have a good discussion with your doctor about it if you suspect that it runs in your family.
Final question, final minute with Dr. Rastogi. Myth or fact? Heart disease only affects older people.
So that's a myth. Heart disease affects lots of older people. It's prevalent amongst the elderly, but it could also affect younger adults. It's important to be aware of your risk factors, take steps to reduce them regardless of your age. And then be mindful of risk factors, right? Like high cholesterol, high blood pressure, diabetes, if you're somebody who's smoking, all of these things can actually contribute to early onset heart disease. So yes, that's a myth. Heart disease does not just affect older people. Anybody can be vulnerable to heart disease. It's important to be careful and mindful.
That is Heart Health Myth versus Fact with Dr. Sheena Rastogi, cardiologist from Deborah Heart Lung Center to make an appointment. You can call 609-621-2080 or digitally, any digital device on their website. Very easy to navigate. They do a great job with it. DemandDeborah.org. Dr. Rastogi, honor to present you today. Thank you.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
Let's do it again. Have a wonderful day.